Hello and welcome, everybody, to this episode of The Role and the Player, taking a deep dive with some of our favorite characters and the fascinating minds behind them. In a world that just feels all right, it's all too easy to feel left out. The life of the lifers, Stewie Pitt, can be recognized by his experimental and flamboyant sense of fashion, or his BBL, whichever enters the room first. Creative, athletic, inspiring, many superlatives are thrown his way, but we do not wish to lock him in yet another box, so let's give him a chance to introduce himself. Please join us in welcoming Stewie Pitt. Hello, Stewie. How are you on this day?
Hello, and kiflam, sister Eliza. I am a little confused. I'm not really sure where I am right now, but I'm feeling good.
Kiflam, indeed, brother. We are delighted to have you here. Think of this as an exploratory space where we get an opportunity to learn more about you. Why don't you introduce yourself to the people? Who is Stewie Pitt?
Well, my real name is actually Stewart, and that's spelled S-T-E-W-A-R-D. Not to be confused with my twin brother, Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T. You know, he goes by Stu. I'm Stewie. We both got the same last name, though, Pitt. That's P-I-T-T. I was a member of the New Epsilon program, and I was a lifer locked up in Bolingbroke Prison for maybe like 9 years. It was a very long time. I was nonviolent, and I worked on rehabilitating myself. Unfortunately, I met an untimely death, broke my neck on some stairs. You know, those fake stairs are tricky. You never know. But I was able to take classes while on my phone in prison and, you know, learn, even though I wasn't getting taught by the guards. Though, you know, towards the end of my life, we did start a few classes here and there. But I've been in classes my entire life, but I wasn't too smart, you know. Wasn't until I got shot in the head in prison that I started getting smarter and I was finally able to pass my classes. But yeah, I think that a day or two before I died, I was set to take my final exams. So I think I would have passed. And, you know, probably would have gone far being, you know, an accountant in Los Santos.
Well, certainly you deserve a posthumous degree for all of the hard work that you put in.
I would hope so. I really spent a lot of time, you know, in my cell on the phone. And then when they took my phone away, I had to move everything over to my tablet. It was not easy.
It sounds as though you have been through your fair share of hardships. Well, you told us a bit about your life in Bolingbroke so far. Why don't you describe to us what a day in the life of Stewie looked like?
Oh man, every day was very different. You never know what you were gonna get, which temps were gonna come through, which lifers were gonna come out they sell, you know. But pretty much I was afraid the whole time, so I figured why not make friends with people instead of making enemies, you know. So I tried to be as nice as I could and help people out wherever I saw fed, and, you know, I stood up for what I believed in. So if somebody were getting bullied, you know, I'd tell them to stop or try to intervene in some way without resorting to violence, you know.
I'm certain that is quite a challenge in a volatile prison such as Bolingbroke. Well, that leads very nicely into our next question. What are you passionate about? What motivates Stewie?
Well, you know, I was very passionate for standing up for what I felt is right, although I consider right to be left. So what I consider left you know, and bringing things to light that I think are wrong, you know, because I'm not always right, you know. I just want everybody to be aware, and so we can all come to a consensus to do better. Essentially, you know, I want everybody to be lifted up instead of putting each other down, and wanted everybody to realize that there are two, you know, more than two different perspectives. Everybody had an opinion. Nobody's opinion is more valuable than another person. And sometimes people think that their opinion's a fact, you know, and that really rubbed me the wrong way. But really, I was passionate about rehabilitation because I wanted to prove that good people can do bad things, you know, but they can still repent and get past it and move forward and, you know, use that as a learning experience to better themselves and better everyone around them.
That is a, I will have to say, a very mature perspective.
I was also motivated by the faith that others had placed in me when I had not placed it in myself, along with, you know, the accomplishments of everyone else around me. I just wanted to live up to, you know, what they were doing and kind of do my own thing in my own unique way and pave a path for others that may not see a path forward, you know?
So, you were talking about the influences that other people have had on you. Who are the three people in San Andreas that are the most important to you?
Oh man, it is so hard to just do three people. I don't know if I could do it. I might have to go a little bit above three. And I can't list them in any particular order. You know, like, I love everybody equally, you know. I'm sure there's a bunch of people that I'm going to miss, you know, and I want them to know that I still value, you know, every experience with them and everything I learned and grew through together. But honestly, I got to put you up there. Eliza, you have done so much for me that I never would have expected. You just listened to me vent. You opened my mind to a different perspective, way more than my therapist ever did. And you really, you know, helped me find my own path and paved my way forward. So thank you to you, but not just you, but everyone in the New Epsilon crew. You know, Diego, Ashton, Sonny, EJ, you know, everybody, really. So thank you. I do have to also put the DOC guard Flyrone Smith up there. He was the first guard to actually care about me and see me for me and actually help me, you know, do better for myself. And I eventually adopted him and my son. And, you know, he was looking for a father figure because his father was never around. Up until the day his father came around and got hired to the DOC and, you know, kind of upsetting because, you know, once his real pappy was back, you know, we didn't really do father-son things much no more. But it's okay. I understand that, and I don't want him to feel bad. You know, I'm happy for him. Another person that I got to mention, I don't know. I got to do two more at least. Is that okay?
That is more than okay.
I'd like to put Fiona Woods up there. She was a lifer who was always around and, like, she could just be honest with me and I could be honest with her. And we kind of, you know, leaned on each other in times of need and vented to each other. And we kind of were on the same page. And, you know, there were a lot of people who talked me off ledges and things like that. But I got to give it to her. She got a very people personality. Everybody love her. She got like a soothing, calming aura. And then last but not least, which might surprise some people, honestly, Carmine Costello was pretty important to me. We got off on the wrong foot because there was a gang in prison and they pretty much convinced everybody that if you wasn't in the gang, then you were pretty much going to get bullied every day. You're going to be excluded from all of the events and everything. So, you know, to get me in the gang, I was told to call Carmine because he owed them some money. They didn't tell me why he owed them some money. They just said, do whatever you got to do to get Carmine to prison. So the way I met Carmine was I found him on the lemon list. I called him up and threatened his life. when he didn't really care about that, I threatened his wife. And he said he hadn't seen his wife in like 6 months, so good luck. I then threatened his mom. So, yeah, it didn't start well, but eventually there was a time where Carmine came to the prison and the lifers, they shot from inside the prison out to him. And the lifers then called the cops and claimed that Carmine was shooting inside the prison at the lifers. So the cops came into the prison and eventually I got shot in the head, all because of the lifer gang just wanted to start shit. So I eventually learned that the gang didn't really have my best interest at heart, but they only had interest for themselves, you know. So when I got my chain taken away, I immediately called up Carmine and I apologized. I said, look, I don't know why I did that. You know, I probably shouldn't have. And, you know, ever since then, we started working on forming a better relationship. And, you know, that kind of set me on a path towards rehabilitation, you know.
You know, some of the best friendships and connections are forged in adversity, indeed. Along those lines, what is one thing you wish people understood about you?
Well, I never actually wanted to commit no crimes, but back in my day, it wasn't acceptable to be a lefty. You know, they would spank us in school, or they'd put a dunce hat on the head, make us go stare at the corner. You know, if you picked up a pencil with your left hand, they'd smack you on the wrist with a ruler. It hurt. But my older brother was the one who actually convinced me that, you know, if I didn't take matters into my own hands, you know, literally, then nothing would change. So I feel like I kind of agreed and went along. And, you know, I didn't just do it for myself. I did it for all the lefties out there. You might even say that eventually I cured the world of the anti-leftist agenda, you know. But when it came down to it, yes, I did wait until my teachers came out of class. Yes, I did put on a mask and escorted them behind the playground into the woods. But when it came time to chopping their hands off with a ruler, I chickened out. My older brother Chad was waiting there for me. He knew it was going to happen. So he took my hand and, you know, and chopped their hands off with my, you know, like I had the ruler in my hand, but he forced me to do it. So I didn't want to do those things, but I chickened out every time, you know, but he was strong and he got away with murder, you know. Not much that I could do to stand up to him because my parents was never around. I'm pretty much raised by my older brother, Chad. So, you know, if I acted out against him, he'd punish me.
So, with that in mind, do you think that you deserved to be put in prison for the crimes committed?
Not at all. You know, my older brother Chad convinced me to snitch on my brother and convinced my brother to snitch on me. But after we was locked up in prison together, we did a little bit of talking and we realized that he set us up the whole time with both of our crimes. We're like, he was the mastermind of this whole thing, socially manipulating us to do his agenda, just like the Ghost Gang, you know. But he's still out in the city, you know, a free man, you know. Everybody know he got a bad head on his shoulders, but they don't care because he's so good looking and he got a good job and he got a lot of money, you know. Like, some people are just set for life and can get away with whatever.
That is quite alarming. I would imagine having that sort of fate befall you would put a lot of doubt and resentment in your heart.
I mean, I kind of took it out on my twin brother on, you know, when I first got sent there. But after, you know, the initial fight, because I made fun of him because his big body dad couldn't fit into one of those orange jumpsuits, you know, we made up and we talked about our older brother Chad and how everybody had kind of like using us. So I made a decision to protect Stu and I hit him in one of the cells. So I lied to everybody telling him that, you know, I killed him and that he dead. But really, I was sneaking him food every night just to keep him alive. And I do have a lot of resentment from my older brother Chad, but there's nothing that I can do about that from inside the prison, you know? And it ain't no good holding that in, you know? It's better just letting it go. Hopefully I never see him again, and, you know, maybe he dead. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while, but anger really lead to crash outs, you know? And I've experienced a few too many crash outs in my life to, you know, hang on to that anger.
Well, it seems as though your twin brother it is, correct?
Yeah, Stu.
Stu is in a way carrying on your legacy. If you had the opportunity to give him one last piece of advice or say one last thing to him, what would you share?
Oh, that's not gonna be easy. Don't let my debt be for nothing. You know, continue the rehabilitation path and be kind to everybody. And forgiveness is essential. Maybe Chad was misguided. You know, we did have a lot of siblings, but he did tend to favor us. So maybe, you know, he had a reason for doing what he did. So maybe try looking into that and understanding his perspective. Don't just get angry and want to attack him. Give him a chance. Everybody deserves a chance.
That is beautifully worded. Now this question might feel perhaps a little redundant, but tell us about a time that you messed up.
Well, I guess joining that prison gang and, you know, doing what I did with Carmon was pretty messed up, you know. Once I was in that life of gang, I wanted to start a record label called the Department of Gangsters, you know, DOG. And everybody loved the idea, but, you know, I went in my cell and I didn't come out like a day or two, and then I wake up, you know, another time, and all of a sudden they take my idea, they claiming it as they own, they got their own patch for it, and I was a little bit upset. Yeah, but, I mean, you know me, I always talk out my grievances, so I told them that, like, hey, like, I had this kind of vision for it, and they eventually decided to let me run with the idea. So I was all excited, and I got the go-ahead from the gang. So I figured, now that I got approval from the gang, they like what I'm going to do, it's time for me to call a journalist. So I went over to visitation, used the yellow phone, and I requested a journalist. And back then, there were no guards around. It was probably after Dogtown. So the life of gang had guns. We all had radios. You know, like, it was a lot different than current times, but there was one of the quote-unquote OGs, you know, the leaders of the gang. They found the journalist before me, so they went over radio and were like, oh, who requested a journalist? And I was like, oh, that's me, I'll be right there. So I showed up to where she was, and I literally said these words: thank you very much, you can go now. And she got so offended from that. And I did not mean to offend in any way. I was not telling her to go. You know, I just gave her an option. You can go. You can stay if you'd like. So I apologized to her and I said, look, I think you misconstruing my words. It's not what I said. I'm sorry. Like, please don't take it that way. But there was no change in their mind, you know? There was nothing that I could. So she took out a wrench on me. Yeah, I wasn't gonna fight back or nothing, but at the time I was practicing my dodging skills. So I kind of like put my arms up in case she was ready to swing, and whoop, she swung on me. I tried to dodge, but nope, I couldn't dodge in time, and she knocked me out. So the camera people said, oh, we got that on camera. That's all the footage that we need. We're out of here. Thank you very much.
Oh, no.
I was a little upset, you know? I was like, what the heck? I came up with a good idea. They preach that no lifer should be attacking another lifer, and yet they standing on their own business. I tried to apologize. He wouldn't let me apologize. And now I'm on the ground. It was very confusing for me.
A despicable situation, indeed. Well,
oh, because of my words.
You know, it can be a fickle thing, what you mentioned before about different perspectives and whatnot. You mentioned Dogtown a little earlier. I think this is an opportune moment for any of our intrepid listeners out on Life Invader Plus to maybe learn a brief overview of the history of Bolingbrook through your experience. So it seems as though Bolingbrook has went through quite a few changes during your tenure there. Tell us about that.
Most definitely. By the time I got there, I only heard stories. You know, I wasn't there from Dogtown, but according to other lifers, Dogtown was a lawless land. So anything that happened inside the prison was fair game. There were two wardens, Carmine Costello and Bobby Charles. And I believe they did have a couple guards under them, like Scotty Bard, Lily last name. Honestly, I wasn't around, so I didn't really know, but I think a bunch of the guards eventually came back later. In Dogtown, if you went up on a catwalk, you would be immediately shot in the head. Catwalks are dangerous. Yeah, if you on a catwalk, you might injure yourself, or you only up there to hide contraband. Like, there's no really real reason for us to go on the catwalks, unless we going to get a bite. So I don't think bites are worth getting shot for, you know. After Dogtown happened, because I think it ended because there was like a gang in prison or something, and they were on a work release and the bus got flipped and the gang all escaped or something, and yeah, there was some messed up stuff that was happening, but I don't know. Some of the rumors that I heard about Dogtown didn't seem so bad. It seemed like people kind of instigated. Like, if you don't want to get shot on a catwalk, don't go on the catwalk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And a lot of the people were like mad at Carmine through stories that they heard secondhand. Like, they weren't there, so they don't really know. And from what I've seen, the lifers tend to lie. They like to make themselves look better. So, you know, I'm just relying on what other people said, but I don't know. I wasn't there. But there was a good amount of time where we didn't have any guards around. There was no warden. It was just us on our own doing whatever we wanted to do. Which a lot of people preferred to having DOC around, who were then taking all of their weapons and limiting the amount of stuff they could do and things like that. But after that lull period, because only like Scotty and a few people were coming to the fence to talk to us, we never got any visitors back then. But eventually, Scotty would push in to, you know, get some guards back in the prison. So instead of letting Scotty be the warden, they gave it to someone named John Bailey, I believe. And from what I saw being in the prison, John Bailey would like a ghost. Like, he would never around, and when he was around, nobody saw him. He would like hiding on a catwalk or like watching us from like a tower. Like, he really did not interact with us at all. He did have a really, you know, soothing voice, though. We asked if he could read us bedtime stories, but I think he declined. I guess the lifers had been complaining and complaining about Bailey not really doing much, so I think Bailey kind of either got fed up or just didn't want the role no more. So when Bailey left, I think it was the warden was handed down to Scotty Bard. And Scotty did a great job. Scotty hired a lot of cool people. We did work releases. They were really present in the prison, so they was around, although most of the time they'd be in their own little circle or in the airlock, you know, just kind of talking amongst themselves, not really paying much attention to the lifers. And a couple of our lifers got a little frustrated with that. You know, it's like, why are you gonna be here if you don't want to hang with us or talk to us? Or it didn't really make much sense. But I know that that Scotty did a lot of work on the back end just because all the other gods would constantly talk about it. You know, creating whatever rules or guidelines or something. So I appreciate Scotty for everything that he did. I was just a little bit frustrated that when Scotty was around, he just was busy all the time. You know, I just wanted to, like, learn how to dance. And Scotty told me, like, go teach a dance class. And that confused the hell out of me. I'm like, how am I going to teach a dance class if I don't know how to dance? So it was little things like that that kind of, you know, upset me a little bit. But hey, I wound up teaching myself how to dance. And now I think I'm like was one of the best dancers in the prison. All the other guards were very unique. They all had their own, you know, skills that they brought to the table. They were pretty entertaining. I did know there was a lot of, like, fussing between the guards, and some people didn't like each other, and kind of led to other people quitting. And then, you know, I think it was the DOJ or something just kept changing legislation on them. And at a certain point, a lot of the guards just got fed up, and they were like, if this ain't enjoyable, you know, we're going to enjoy our life and do something else. So I'm happy for them, and I'm happy for whatever new chapters they starting. Would have liked to remain in contact and stuff, but I hadn't really seen none of them too much. Maybe Quentin a little bit. But yeah, after Scotty stepped down and the warden became Gary Kevin. And as soon as he got hired, he started a warehouse for the prison. We got a classroom. We was actually getting education for once. We got farming done. We got a little rec room. So, like, he was really helping with the rehabilitation and keeping us occupied so we not, you know, doing nothing and just hanging out, just sitting on the bleachers. Because there was a lot of just hanging out, sitting on the bleachers in all the prior warden's times. But I think things are on the up and up for the prison. I know I haven't been around the last, you know, couple weeks or so, but I hope everybody doing good.
Thank you so much for giving us that comprehensive overview. Hopefully that grants more perspective to people who may have some preconceptions about Bolingbrook.
Were definitely a way of thinking that the outside people had on the lifers. You know, they always felt like we were less than, and that they don't have to talk to us. You know, whenever they got sent to prison, they would just kind of run right the heck out of there. None of them wanted to stay and hang out. But eventually, over time, I did see a couple of them, you know, change that perspective. And now I think that the lifers are getting a little more respect than they used to.
Mm-hmm. What is something that you would like to say to the free civilian populace to maybe, if you could sway their opinions to maybe be more empathetic to the plight of the lifers?
I would say just come to prison and meet us. Talk to us. Learn who we are. We ain't that bad. There are some people out there that did horrible things, but they still allowed to walk free. You know, like, if we were given a second chance, I think we would be able to create, you know, positivity and, you know, have fun and better the city in general. You know, we ain't going to be out there murdering everybody. We ain't going to be out there messing up other people's plans. Like, we just want to enjoy life, you know, and hey, if you come to prison, you might enjoy your stay. You never know.
If you ever come to prison, you might enjoy your stay. You never know. Excellent thought to think on. So we've talked about how inherently, just a byproduct of being in Bolingbrook, there's going to be some conflicts, right? A fair number of people who may not see eye to eye with you or may have an agenda or a vendetta. Stewie, how would your ops describe you to others?
I'd probably say that, oh, he was always too nice. Oh, his goals were so far-fetched that there was never a chance that they were gonna happen. Then they'd probably say, oh, he crashed out. many times and never truly recovered. Or maybe they'd say, I'm sorry, that he was a whiny ass bitch who probably should have died sooner.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I've heard that stuff a lot.
Ah, a whiny ass bitch that should have died sooner. How does that make you feel?
Not too good, because I've been kind to mostly everybody, you know, even the people that I disagreed with. I just thought that was disagreement. I don't hate nobody, you know. I ain't gonna bring nobody down. I ain't gonna ruin nobody's plans. But for them to feel that strongly about me, kind of shocking, you know.
Mm, indeed. Well, let's explore some of the positive aspects of these things. What's the most adventurous thing you've ever done?
I wasn't a very adventurous person. You know, I was kind of like an indoors guy until I got sent to prison. I don't know. I like to make the most of my time. So I really scaled every inch of the prison, and eventually there was like an Easter egg hunt, and I think it was Seamus. He kind of told me where one of the Easter eggs were, and it's a very hard spot to get onto. It's on top of 9A. And to get there, you really gotta, like, walk on top of one of the railings and jump at, like, the last possible second. It's very hard to get there, but it's pretty much like parkouring, you know? So, it's very dangerous. You could easily slip, fall, and crack your head, which actually... it's almost very similar to how I died. So yeah, I wound up finding my favorite spot in there because it's a smack dab in the middle of the prison. You could see everywhere from there. So, you know, biking and climbing and exploring, you know, I think those were pretty adventurous. But I did venture into fashion a little bit. You know, I like to be unique and dress uniquely. So yeah, I did win a... work release at the Vanilla Unicorn, where the theme was to dress like a sugar baby. Not a sugar daddy, but like a sugar baby who wanted the cash. So I won that fan square. You know, it was pretty fun. And I think that my fashion sense kind of may have inspired other people to dress more uniquely.
Indeed. For our listeners out there on Life Invader Plus, could you... describe this award-winning outfit for the people.
Yeah, so it was a very small shirt that left my stomach, you know, exposed. And I work out every day. I do 3 laps around the prison. I do 5 laps up and down the stairs. And then, you know, I go into the gym. I do push-ups, jumping jacks, stretches, you know, chin-ups, weights. I do it all. So I'm very in shape. So me showing, you know, my skin and my stomach, you know, I also had the little antler ears on and very short shorts on and a little bag so they could just throw the money in the bag. So it was very colorful. It was a lot of purple and not a lot of orange. But yeah, I look sexy.
Ah, the epitome of sugar baby done. What is your favorite outfit you've worn?
Oh, no. I got so many outfits, and I love them all. I like wearing the masks and then putting, like, a hat that's also it's very similar to, like, a mask, so it, like, crushes the mask a little bit. So I think that my pink pony, you know, unicorn outfit would probably be my favorite. It was very pink. I wore, like, a horse mask, but I put a little dunce cap on top of it. So, like, the dunce cap was, like, the unicorn, the horn, and, like, the face got smushed in. So it looked pretty funny. And then I also had one of those pink pony sticks, and I would dance on it. So, yeah, I liked being part of the Pink Pony Club.
Ah, indeed. Well, you are fondly remembered as the Pink Pony Girl.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, Stewie, you know what time it is, right?
No, what time is it?
It is time for a rapid fire round. I am going to ask you a series of questions, and I do not want you to even think. I want you to answer the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Oh, no. I guess so.
It doesn't matter because we're starting anyways. Rapid fire question number one. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Favorite drug?
Weed.
Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Favorite work release job?
The vanilla unicorn.
Worst trait?
Sometimes I lie.
Best trait?
I like to help others.
What makes you smile the most?
Silly jokes.
What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What's your go-to shower song?
I'm gonna keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club.
Pet peeve?
When people say that lefties don't have the same rights as righties.
Favorite gang?
I don't have a favorite gang. What the hell? What kind of question is that?
Well, that is the end of our time. Admirably done, Stewie. Admirably done. I'll have to say you answered more questions than just about anyone on any Life Invader Plus program. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Oh no, I don't think I answered the last one.
As we continue forward, we have some live listener submission questions that people are clamoring to ask you. The first one comes from Spot the Dachshund. When picking out your outfit, do you dress for success or distress?
Neither. I don't like to dress for distress because then you're just going to be stressed out. And I don't consider myself successful, so I just dress to be unique. You know, I find clothes that other people aren't wearing. I like the colorful ones or ones with pictures on it. Or I find like a mask and then I kind of just make up a story that kind of fit the outfit. You know, so it's not just an outfit. It's actually like a whole costume kind of.
From the same submitter, what ways have you, Stewie, changed spending life in prison for better or for worse?
Well, I used to think that, like, the hive mind mentality was good. You know, everybody should be working together and, you know, lifting each other up. And I still kind of believe that, but I feel like with gangs and stuff, people are missing information and just, you know, leading themselves into danger without knowing it, and others are being very selfish, and some people just can't see that stuff. So, I don't know. I've changed from trying to be kind to everybody and just doing my best, you know.
Mm-hmm. That actually segues into this next question from the same submitter, Spot the Dachshund. What gave you hope, encouragement, and empowerment when many people thought you were a lost cause?
Honestly, it was from your visits, really. I didn't get any visitors unless I called them and asked them to come. But I think, like, I called you because I wanted to give back to the community. And I saw a twat that you had put out, and you immediately came to the prison, and you asked me a lot of questions and made me think differently. And you really kept coming back. And, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would have crashed out a lot more. And honestly, I would look forward to our conversation. So anytime I did crash out, I kind of knew that you would be there to, you know, set me back on the right path.
And that segues really nicely into our next question from AC Decoy. What drew you towards New Epsilon?
It was you. You know, you were listening and I wanted to learn more. And the more that I learned, the more I was interested. And the more I realized that you were actually, you know, giving back to us lifers when we had nothing to give you. And, you know, I just thought that you guys are so optimistic and it kind of rubs off on other people. And, you know, what you did for me, you know, you were doing for everybody else as well. It wasn't like you were excluded to me. You know, you guys were just so cool and I love what you were doing, you know, giving back to people.
Well, hopefully we can abolish the thought that you don't have anything to give back, because good company and meaningful conversations really do have a lot of value.
I see that now.
Next question from AC Decoy. If you were released from prison on parole, what is the first thing you would do?
I would teach some classes. You know, I'd try to push forward the rehabilitation program that I so want to see happen. I would assist, you know, the prisoners. I'd assist the guards in any way that I can, and try to change, you know, the outlook on lifers from those in the city.
What kind of classes would you teach?
Maybe like how to be a better person, or how to recover from a crash out, or, you know, how to think freely and understand that not everybody had your best interests at heart.
Difficult lessons learned hard.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, chasing clout, you might lose yourself in the process. So just be yourself and be unique, you know.
This is too true. Our final question that we have for you. Stewie, what is the meaning of life?
I don't know. That is very hard, because it's probably different for everybody. But for me, I would say it's about enjoying your time on Earth. It's about having, you know, passion, having hope, being able to have some sense of fulfillment and sharing that with others, because a life lived alone is a life unappreciated, in my opinion, you know.
Truer words have not been spoken. Stewie, thank you so much for the generosity of your time on this day. Are there any final thoughts or last words that you would like to leave with our listeners here today?
I just want everybody to know, you know, no matter how bad things are in your life, you can still turn things around, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, that's a great way to learn. And don't give up on people, you know. Everybody deserves a second chance, so just, you know, be kind to others, and, you know, hopefully you fulfill whatever goals that you have. And if you're not, then just talk to somebody, share it with them. You know, being able to vent, you know, prevents crashing out. So thank you all for your time, and it was a pleasure talking to you all again.
It was distinctly and will always be our pleasure, Stewie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Kiflam.
Kiflam indeed, brother. With that said, we are going to take a brief intermission, and when we return, we will be speaking to a fascinating individual. We'll see you in a few. Better time than the present. Hello and welcome back, everybody. This is our second half of our podcast, Role in the Player, where we get the opportunity to speak a little more with the player, the brains behind the character, and our guest today, as we've already witnessed, the mind behind Stewie Pitt, amongst other characters. One of my favorite people that I've met as of late in my RP journey. Honestly, doesn't even that need that big of an introduction, because you already know who it is. It's Microphone Seth!
Clap. Hello.
Now. Clap now.
Hi, everybody.
Seth, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm swimming. I'm really happy to have you here. Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for doing this. This podcast is great.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, hey, we're halfway through, so who knows? We could tank it in this next...
I don't think so.
We're going to do it on purpose. Well, hey, you know what? Introduce yourself to the people.
All right. Hello, everybody. I go by Saf. Feel free to call me Microphone or Mike. Some people call me Micro. Nothing gets on my nerves, so whatever you want to call me, I'm okay with it. I did also, like both of my Mike Saf and Stewie Pitt, I graduated from grad school recently. And will unfortunately be re-entering the workforce soon, so I may be around a little bit less. But yeah, I'm 33 years old, but I still feel like a kid at heart. I love video games.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm actually quite curious if you're willing to... First off, congratulations on grad school. That's huge.
Thank you.
That's huge. I'm quite curious. What is the inspiration behind the name Microphone Saf?
Well, I mean, I'm sitting in front of a microphone. A lot of people just call me Saf. You know, it's my nickname. Uh-huh. And so I just figure, why not just put the two together, you know?
I'll be perfectly honest, until I really took a look at your, like, profile picture here, I did not notice the Saf. That is such a creative integration. That is so fun.
Yeah, my real name is Brandon, if anyone's curious. It's not
like Brandon.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. Kaylee is my real name. I don't have a fun revelation along those lines. I guess well, I could just actually, make up a name.
I go by my middle name, okay? My middle name is Brandon.
Oh, gotcha. Hell yeah. So we're gonna talk shop a little bit here. So, Saf, what is roleplay?
So, to me, and I'm sure everyone has their own opinion, but roleplay is like putting yourself in a certain role and playing around with your abilities in, you know, a limited or closed environment that's already been set. So, you'll have to follow a certain set of rules, but at least you could be creative with the way that you navigate your path. To me, roleplay is like rolling a dice where most of it is up to chance encounters, and you can't really force yourself down a path that you want to go on. I think of roleplay as somewhat of like a sandbox where we're all allowed to play inside, but not everybody's going to get along. And some people will help you build your sandcastle. Some will come and just stomp on it, and some will throw sand at you. So, you know, if you don't want to get kicked out of the sandbox, you kind of got to play nicely.
That is such a succinct and beautiful metaphor for that. I dig that. You. Yeah. So ultimately, what got you into RP? What made you go, dang, I want to do that?
Okay, so it wasn't until maybe about a year and a half ago that I had even discovered roleplay.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in an accounting firm for over 3 years, and I moved up very quickly. I didn't plan to do accounting. I started as a receptionist, but I kept asking for more work, and eventually I moved on up very quickly because my boss was extremely toxic. People could not stand him. People quit left and right. So I have like a thick, you know, skin. I tend to just take it on the chin and not take things personally, but it's hard not to take things personally when he's attacking you very personally. You know, so eventually, you know, I had to quit, even though the pay was great. The job was great. It was pretty much just abuse. You know, like I had to stay late without any notice. You know, he wanted me to come in weekends when no one else was coming in on weekends. You know, he'd just constantly berate me, you know, and I just figured, hey, if I go back to school and I take the CPA exam, I'll get a higher base pay. So I quit my job, and that's when I had more time to kind of discover roleplay. And I think I found it by watching Andy Milonakis on Twitch.
Really?
Yeah, he was playing like an old lunch lady who was serving sandwiches. at the food shop, and I'm like, what? People are playing GTA and they're just serving sandwiches at a food shop? So I think he created like a rapper character, and like I used to rap myself. I actually majored in music business, but
really
it was so competitive, and I interned at a company 3 to 4 different times in 3 years. And when it came to getting a job, the first question they asked me in my interview was, we already hired someone for this job. Tell me why you would be better than, better than them. And I was like, why are you wasting my time? Like, what kind of question is that? So after that, I kind of was just like done with the music industry. Because just like my characters, I'm not a competitive person. I want to help everybody out. But in the music industry, it's like we need that number one spot. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the contracts are just abusing the artists. You know, if you don't have that knowledge and you're not standing up for yourself, then you're gonna, you know, lose out on the money.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for me. And Andy created a character called Lollipop, who like wound up working for like Wu-Chang Records or something. And then I found Lord Kevin, and I found like Chain Gang to be hysterical. But eventually there was a time where Mr. K stole Bobby Charles's SIM card, and Carmine and Bobby were just flailing around like idiots. And I fell in love with those two characters. So I started to watch 52 Chainz and 25 Daves all the time. They were just lovable idiots. And I consider myself somewhat like that. You know, like, I'm not afraid to be hated. I'm not afraid to be called dumb or stupid. Like, it's all a video game. It's not that serious. You know, and I watched Carmine and Bobby as wardens during Dogtown. And I thought, God damn it, I want to be in Dogtown right now. But I was a little bit afraid because I had never roleplayed. It took me 4 months to even get the strength to even type in their chat. So I went from viewer to chatter, and then I tried a little bit of roleplay and like NoPixel Public Green, and I did one or two servers before that, until finally I got kind of just fed up with the other servers, and I'm like, let me just jump in now. But by the time I jumped in, Dogtown had already ended, and yeah, I missed that opportunity, unfortunately. But in one of the other servers that I played, I did create Mike Saf, and in this server, he was actually allowed to be an alien. He didn't to think that he was in it. Because Mike, like, doesn't know about his past. He thinks that he's so weird that he could be an alien, because they don't allow supernatural RP in NoPixel. So Mike was an alien in another server.
Yeah, that plausible deniability. Well, that's a good way to map that on. So that actually leads really nicely into my next question I have for you here. What was your inspiration? You kind of dipped into it, but I want to know a bit more about what inspired Stewie. Stewie is such a phenomenally well-rounded character, you know, treading that line between, you know, goofy, fun, dumb stuff, and also sweet, sincere, grounded moments.
Well, believe it or not, I actually created Stew before I created
Oh, that is so funny.
Stu woke up in prison, and I thought the name Stu, I wanted to make a character who was inexperienced and was just very dumb, because I didn't have roleplay experience and I knew I was going to mess up and make mistakes. But when Stu woke up for the first time, he had the PED disease, so he couldn't put on orange. So I roleplayed that out as, you know, he was too fat to fit on the orange jumpsuit, and him and Stewie got into an argument, and quote-unquote Stewie killed him, even though he lied about that. But nobody told me there was a surgery room where I could fix that. So Stu woke up, immediately got told that he was ugly, that he wasn't unique enough, and got bullied. And I honestly, I didn't make Stewie for like a week or two after that, because I was just afraid. So yeah, once I made Stewie, the name Stuart was already taken. I couldn't call him Stu because Stu was already there. So I just had to make him Stewie. But yeah, ever since just creating him, it was kind of go with the flow. I didn't have much except for like his backstory. You know, he's a lefty in a righty's world, and he was just unique. And everything kind of just happened by circumstance.
Yeah. In what ways? I know you said you're like relatively new to RP, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, through playing the character, what are some ways that you've discovered you are either similar to or different from Stewie?
Okay, so Stewie was a lefty, and I'm also a lefty. I like to be unique.
Uh-huh.
You know, I do things that other people don't do. I say, oh, they're doing that. That's very similar to that. I want to do something the complete opposite direction. And it's actually funny. I should have touched on this in the last question. But the word steward is like the job of like supervising or taking care of something. And that's kind of like who I am.
Uh-huh.
I care for people deeply. And I just want to help everybody. And, you know, I don't dress like Stewie did. But, like, he was able to express himself very well. And I feel like I'm very expressive. Just, I don't have that same fashion sense. But, yeah, I always want to squash the conflict, even though roleplay is very conflict-heavy. So, like, my style of roleplay is so unique because I'm not feeding into the conflict. I'm either uh-huh. running away or trying to squash it.
That is so... I love that. What a fun little symbolic thing to have in there, steward. I dig that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, it's, you know what? It is good to have that variety, right? You know, mm-hmm. playing to the way that your character would naturally react to things.
Yeah. I mean, you can't plan for things because things are just never going to go to plan.
Oh, never. Yeah. Incredible. So you've been on the server for about how long?
Maybe 9-10 months okay. now. I think I started June or July last year.
Okay. Feel free to make this about either NoPixel or any of the other servers you've played on, but what is your favorite RP memory or a highlight or two that stick out to you?
Oh, man. I don't know if I could do just one.
Just
I'll touch
one.
Upon one very briefly, and then I'll go into detail on another one.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the previous server where I could make Mike an alien... it was a very small server, limited to like 60 people, but they had some really cool assets. I wanted to make myself the mayor because they actually had the inside of the observatory built out. And there were like offices in there, and I had like this room that I just made my bedroom because nobody was using the mayor's office. So I was there so often that one time I was just walking along the wall and all of a sudden, one of the, like, bookcases, like, went in, and I found out there was a basement with, like, a whole FBI area, and then there was, like, a gun rack, and then it led to, like, a little prison, and then it led to a pit, and then it led to, like, a special escape hatch that I could, like, take a motorcycle and just flee whenever I wanted. So I was so ready to, like, take over and become, like, this crazy badass mayor, but... when there's only a few people around, it's so hard to push a storyline.
Yeah.
So I just needed to go to Dogtown at that point, but not Dogtown, the prison.
Yeah.
But one of the best times I had in prison was the one day I always thought I'm gonna stream every time that I'm on because I might miss something.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were a few days where like not much happened, so I figured, oh, I'm not gonna stream today. And in that day, so what happened was there were two inmates, Blorg and Rico.
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to get on top of, like, 8A, which is even taller than, like, 9A. Like, you can't just run on a railing and jump there.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to, like, stack stuff up. So they bought a bunch of bikes, like 20 bikes, stacked up all the bikes on the catwalk. And they were able to make, like, a stair of bikes and get to the roof. So I figured, oh, they're up there. I want to go up there, too. I tried to get up there, but I slipped and fell off the catwalks, and I went down. So I'm down right in front of the infirmary, and I didn't know how to use local EMS. I didn't know if I'd lose everything in my pockets if, you know, I just stood. You know, I didn't know what to do, so I waited until somebody would find me. And eventually, Matt Colby... walked up to me and was like, how you doing? And I was like shouting, or maybe I wasn't shouting because I didn't know how to shout at the time. So I was like saying, I need help. Like, but I guess since my character wasn't shouting, he didn't hear me.
Oh.
And apparently in his eyes, I was like still standing, because sometimes when people go down, they're like standing up. So he didn't know, and he just like left me there, and I was still, so I decided to crawl. And I was crawling away from the infirmary. And all of a sudden, that's when Mr. K walks out of cell block 7. And the first thing he sees is a whole bunch of locals around, and then me just crawling on the ground. So he walks right up to me, and he's like, dude, you're crawling to the wrong door. Let me take you to the infirmary. So he took me to the infirmary, and I went to thank him immediately after, and I gave him a guided lockpick that were extremely rare at that time. They sell for like 20,000, you know, current day. I don't know if it went for more back then, but he was very happy about that whole interaction. And later on that day, we wound up working in the kitchen together. I told him about my record label idea, and he like asked me if I wanted to join Wu-Chang Records, but I was like, no, I want to start a record label within the prison. And he supported that. And right before he was about to leave prison, we were working in the kitchen, like, next to each other, hand by hand, and his hand accidentally, like, grazed Stewie's ass. And I was like, oh, you like that? And so he started to smack Stewie's ass.
Oh, goodness.
It was hysterical. But Stewie's, like, uncomfortable with that kind of attention. So he walked away, but another lifer walked right up in there and got his ass slapped by Mr. K next. And that same exact day, for some reason, I don't know why, Bobby Charles came into the prison. And he wasn't a police officer at the time. I guess he still had keys. And I don't know. People just have a thing against Carmine and Bobby without any logical reason. I guess since they're just hated, everybody jumps onto that hate bandwagon.
Yeah.
So they told me to be in the gang, I had to beat up Bobby Charles. So they take him into cell block 7. And we go to my cell to, like, fight in my cell. And before I can let off a punch, Bobby grabs me over his shoulder, does push-ups, and gives me a swirly right into my toilet.
Oh, no.
So everybody just watched. And when the swirly was over, we actually fought. And I beat up Bobby Charles. So one of those pictures that you showed with Cassie in front and us all putting up gang signs, you could see Bobby Charles is on the ground.
On the ground.
That was after I beat him up. So I wish that I had been streaming that day, because, oh man, it was so much fun.
That is so funny. Stewie's been through quite a journey, you know, from the beginnings at Bolingbrook up to, you know, up to his perma rip. So sad.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways has Stewie changed as a character that has surprised you?
Let's see. I didn't think that Stewie would be so well liked. I also did not think that he would be so hated. He started off as like a beginner, like kind of just like listening and like believing what everybody was saying. But eventually, like, he was around long enough to become an expert on the way things were running in the prison. He could see things before they even happened. He would give people advice, and if they didn't take it, that was on them. You know, he saw many iterations of the DOC and how each guard was doing their job differently. Everybody, even the inmates, have their own perspective on the way things should be going. So Stewie never tried to force his opinion on anybody. He didn't think that, you know, his opinion was fact. And I didn't think that he would actually become as educated as he did, because he almost, you know, became a mentor at a certain point, you know, with DC and trying to get people to join the new Epsilon program. So I always thought that Stewie would be just, you know, the butt of the joke. And he evolved into way more than that.
Mm-hmm. Sort of along similar lines, how has your perspective on RP evolved or changed since you started?
Well, just like with everyone's unique perspective on the way things should be going, as a lifer, I did have a bunch of ideas that I thought were very simple and silly, and for some reason they were just denied without much of a reason. So, I don't know. I noticed just how easy is it to just teach people how to dance? You know, like, why couldn't they do that? And after getting all of my business ideas and ideas for activities shot down, I just stopped coming up with ideas. Because I knew that they would get shot down.
Oh.
Or, you know, that there was no point in investing in this idea because nobody was going to help. So, I don't know. There was a lot of, like, people who were applying and then getting their applications denied for whitelist. And I just figured, like, I don't want to put all the time and effort into applying, so I'm just going to role play. And if I get whitelist, so be it. But I'm a beginner. I don't deserve it, you know? But eventually, like, there were clear signs that other people enjoyed the role play that I was putting down. Just like when I did get whitelisted because Alfonso Sebastian came into prison, I showed him the Life or Time Achievement Award that you so kindly put together. You really did the heavy lifting there. All I did was come up with a few ideas. So it's really thanks to you. But he also taught a gym class. And since Stewie works out every day, he was at that gym class and he was like, oh, you forgot this. Oh, you forgot to stretch like that. Oh, you can also do this. So, like, he saw what I was doing dancing on tables and was like, we need more people like you out in the city. But unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to just get parole or freedom for Stewie. I had to make a new character. So it's changed a lot for me because I feel like the lifers go so unappreciated, and like the DOC don't have to be there. They get paid very little. So like the lifers should be appreciative of the guards because they can look the other way. They can get them stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be DOC versus lifers, which is kind of like what it was when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was another thing where, like, there were a lot of new transfers, and a lot of them, just like myself, were new to roleplay. And they had trouble with their microphones, which I had to roleplay it off as voice box.
Mm.
And, you know, acting a certain way, you know, So I took it upon myself to find these new people and kind of tell them what not to do so they didn't immediately get kicked out. But then again, there's only so much that I can do. If you're just not getting it, you're not getting it. People would wake up all the time and just say, how do I get out of here? And it's like, all right, follow me. And then I took them into a spot where the local guards would grab them. And I'd be like, if you're ever in a spot, you know, you shouldn't be. You're just going to get sent right back. So there is no getting out of here. You know, like, just saying it to them is so different than showing it to them.
Yeah.
Because when you show it to them, they actually believe you.
Exactly.
But yeah, I have seen a lot of role play. And I understand role play is very conflict heavy. But there has been conflicts where it doesn't seem enjoyable to either side of the conflict, you know? So I feel like there's a lot of people that are excluding people from cool situations when I feel like we're all here to have fun, you know? If it's not fun, then don't make it worse for somebody else, you know?
Yeah, ideally that would be the case. And I think it, as you noted, it's just a bunch of different people coming in with different perspectives on roleplay and also different levels of experience. So navigating that can be a little extra tricky at times.
I have an older sister, but I don't talk to her that much or at all, really. So I don't have that sibling rivalry that I feel like is kind of crucial, you know, for roleplay because it's kind of like just playful banter. So I never really had that.
Gotcha. Well, it's actually really cool that, you know, as Stewie, as a lifer, you were taking that opportunity to kind of in character, you know, guide people in an icy way to sort of help them get a little more established. I guess the question I have is, what advice would you give to aspiring role players? Like, think if you were speaking to yourself, you know, 9-10 months ago, what advice would you give?
I would say just be yourself, be unique. Don't change yourself for others. As I said before, like, if you try to change yourself for someone else, you will lose yourself in the process. I would say focus on having fun, and if it's not fun, take a step back, take a break. You can always create a new character or try a different angle. I've taken a couple breaks myself, and they were very healing, and they cleared my mind, because the burnout is real. It's very hard to recover from those crash outs. Everybody sees you crashing out, and it can lead to very destructive behavior. So just let the role play come naturally. Don't try to force anything. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, but also you got to be careful with the mistakes that you're making. You know, it only takes one mistake for you to get, you know, permanently transferred to a mental health facility for Stewie. I learned a lot from making mistakes. So just be considerate. Another thing that I would say is don't metagame. It just ruins the fun and the surprise for yourself and others. I also don't like when other people are called out for that stuff. So, you know, do it at your own risk. For me, it's just it just ruins things. You wind up knowing things that you shouldn't know, and then it's hard to navigate that in roleplay. And I'd recommend, you know, for new and aspiring role players, like, just get a job, get your money up first. You'll find people while working those jobs. And once you have enough money to, like, buy food freely, then you can go out and, you know, take up a hobby. And really, once you find, like, one or two people that you connect with, like, working with that person makes things so much easier. And having others around, like, that appreciate you and will forgive your mistakes really goes a long way. So also on the opposite end of that, don't invest too much in people. People will let you down over time. So focus on building yourself and your story, and the rest will just come naturally. You don't need to fit in everywhere, and you don't need to be liked by everyone.
Wow. That is incredible. I think that, you know what, that you could write a book on that.
Yeah.
Truly. Oh, that is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that advice with people. I'm certain there's at least, you know, if not one, a couple of people, maybe even more out there that can really liken themselves to that.
Hey, if anybody's new to roleplay and wants to join as a lifer, just find Mike Saff or Stu Pitt and I'll help you out.
Easy. Incredible. Well, Saf, you know what time it is now, right?
Oh no, is it another rapid fire?
It is another rapid fire round. Oh, we're going to throw a bunch of questions at you and you're going to answer them, and we're just going to start. What is your favorite word?
I don't know.
What is your favorite drug?
Weed.
Do you have any pets?
No, I wish I had a dog.
Favorite pizza topping?
I like plain pizza.
Clowns or mimes?
Clowns.
Vintage or new?
New.
Window or aisle seat?
I'm afraid of heights, so I'm gonna go with aisle.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
What makes you smile the most?
Puppies.
Ooh, what is your favorite word?
Cool.
What is your favorite band?
Lucky Boys Confusion.
If you could force perma any character, who would it be? Oh, it looks like we're out of time. Oh, I don't know. If
already permaed myself. Would have chose myself.
Oh, goodness. Diabolical. Yeah, let's dive into you as a person a bit more here. What kind of hobby? You kind of dipped into it a little earlier, but like, what kind of hobbies or activities you enjoy outside of RP?
I am not an outdoorsy person at all. I love video games. I love films. I love TV shows. I used to enjoy comics, but I really enjoy connecting with others. So a few of my favorite things, like my favorite TV show is Dexter. My favorite movie is like either Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back or Clerks 2.
Incredible choices.
I love both Marvel and DC, so it's hard for me to choose. Favorite video game currently, Call of Duty Zombies.
Heck yeah. What do you enjoy about that game?
I like beating the zombie levels and not just dying. So it's actually like a story and you're, you know, evolving with the characters.
Ooh, hell yeah. So, you know, that narrative element that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hell yeah. What is something you've always wanted to try, but you've been too scared to do?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, this is a hard question for me. But I wanted to expand my palate. I'm a very picky eater. So if somebody dares me to eat something, I can't say no. It's not like I'm afraid of food, but I mean, my taste buds are just shouting to me, that's going to taste terrible.
Are we talking like, you know, mashed potatoes, no gravy kind of bland? Or are we talking, 100%. You know, butter noodles kind of?
Buttered noodles, yep. If it's not on the kids menu, I most likely won't eat it.
Oh, really? What's the most adventurous thing you ate then? I'm curious.
Somebody dared me to eat a fish eye.
A fish, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to find a healthy medium between buttered noodles and fish eyes.
They did not have my best interest at heart. There was never a chance that fish eye was going to taste good.
No. DoorDash is dinosaur chicken nuggets for sale.
I love me my chicken nuggies. I'm still waiting on McDonald's to bring the snack wraps back.
I'm trying to think of how to formulate this question. What is a fairly common, I guess, cuisine or food that you find maybe a bit too adventurous, maybe not quite to your palate?
What is that food that's like very expensive? They're like little egg things.
Oh, like,
caviar.
Caviar, uh-huh.
Caviar, I think that's the answer.
You know what? Yeah, I feel like there's just a fish theme. There's just,
it's the slimy texture that I just can't. Yeah.
You know what? I don't think anyone can blame you for that. What if they came out with slimy chicken nuggets? Would you feel betrayed?
I would. I would not eat that. My mother used to lie to me and say that fish sticks was actually chicken. So I ate the fish sticks. And then as soon as I found out it was fish sticks, I stopped eating it.
Oh, do you just have an aversion to like seafood, or is it the vibes?
I don't know. I mean, once I put two and two together, I was like, these do feel kind of slimy after the little bit of crispy, you know?
Oh, uh-huh. So like a little bit of reality, a little bit of psychosomatic kind of combining together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could blame you for that.
Like, I don't eat hamburgers, but I'll eat my steak medium rare. So I don't know the disconnect lies.
So you've got culinary taste.
Yeah.
You don't eat hamburgers?
No.
That is fascinating to me. You know what? That is fair. That is fair. Honestly, I shouldn't stand here and act surprised with me and my fake vegan ass over here being like, you don't eat hamburgers? Just like pointing and laughing. It's very American brained of me. Well, look at this. Look at this Sav over here. Doesn't like cheeseburgers. Yeah. Oh, what if it's a burger with some chicken nuggets, though? Ooh, good point, Mini Flash Jr. Good point.
I do like chicken sandwiches. My favorite sandwich is a chicken cutlet with melted mozzarella, bacon, and ranch dressing.
Ooh, okay. What kind of
bread?
And
I do eat hot dogs, but no condiments at all.
Oh, just plain old glizzies. I don't like ketchup.
No mustard, no mayo. I don't like any condiments, really.
Okay.
I like barbecue sauce, or maybe sweet and sour sauce for the nuggies.
Oh, okay. Like any kind of barbecue? Or are we just talking, like, regular old, You know, like sweet baby Ray's. Okay.
Yeah, I like A1. I like sweet baby Ray's. They're all pretty good.
I'm not gonna lie, my brain immediately started going down the Rolodex of different, like, are you familiar with like Famous Dave's?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
actually.
It's this chain restaurant. I think it's more popular in the Midwest, where their whole deal is they have a obnoxious list and a terrifying opulent list of different barbecues. They got like Devil Spit, they got Sweet and Zesty, they got Zesty and Spicy, they got regular all New Orleans style, they got Texas BBQ. In my brain I was like, something very interesting to do for this podcast would just to ask Saf individually which of these.
I do appreciate some Buffalo Wild Wings.
Ooh, okay, so you're on the B-dub strain then.
Mm-hmm.
Not sponsored, but you are on the B-dub strain.
they used to make a very good barbecue chicken sandwich, which I don't think they make anymore.
Spot said basically Famous Days is like yep. Buffalo Wild Wings, but with mm-hmm. BBQ. Fascinating. Do you cook at all, or is this more... prepared stuff.
I make a mean bacon egg with no cheese. So like I'll toast up a bagel. I'll do a layer of bacon, a layer of egg, a layer of bacon, a layer of egg, and top it off with a layer of bacon. And that's about the extent of my cooking.
Okay.
I can make cereal, but I put Yoo-hoo in my cereal. I don't use milk.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Right. I'm very picky.
A little bit of decadence, yeah. Honestly. Breakfast Sammy's all you need. And you know what? That's mm-hmm. actually, I admire that because it's sometimes I am a seasonings heavy kind of guy. And there are times where I'm like, I wish I could just like enjoy the base versions of these foods without mm-hmm. having to pour 18 metric tons of like garlic, onions, paprika, turmeric, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. Like, I think I just burned my taste buds off and I'm just trying to feel something. Maybe I could stand to appreciate a gentle buttered noodle.
I can't do spices or things like that. So, like, I love grilled cheese. I love just cheese or chicken quesadillas.
Ooh.
Like, yes, I love Wendy's fast food. Like, I love all fast food, really.
Okay. All right, we're joking about buttered noodles, but I need to know, what kind of noodles?
Well, I do like penne alla vodka. That's about the extent of my...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Actually, wait, that's solid. That's a solid choice.
Yeah. That's but other than good. That, just any noodles, just buttered. They gotta be buttered.
Incredible. A little bit of a pivot. And this doesn't have to be RP related, but mm-hmm. what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
So the best piece of advice I ever received comes from my father, who passed away from cancer. But while he was around, he saw me getting frustrated. And he would, like, kind of walk me through the process of what the problem is. So he would tell me to think about the problem and remove emotions from the equation. Then you wind up with the most logical answer. And normally the most logical answer is the best one because you're not acting on emotion. So whenever I get into problems now, I take a step back, I remove my emotions, I think, okay, what is the best, you know, way to approach this without me resorting to, you know, getting angry or being upset, you know, or acting out? So, you know, acting logically is the normally smartest way to go.
That's incredibly thoughtful. And, you know, it's one of those bits of advice that, that you can just carry with you. It's not always easy to follow, but it mm-hmm. is very good to have just in the, you know, in your back pocket.
A lot of decisions can be impulsive, and that's due to the emotions. So, you know, taking some time to just think before you act, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I dig that. We have some more Discord and chat player submission questions. So, the first of which is from one of our mod gods, Spot the Dachshund. Was it difficult to immerse yourself in the mindset of a character that struggled with the idea they might never see life on the outside again?
For me, not at all. I never expected to get out of prison. It was not something that had been done before. Yeah, I had hopes, but I always expect the worst, but hope for the best. So I never expected it to happen. But if you lose that hope, then things kind of just dooming and glooming and stuff like that. So with the mindset that I had, it was never gonna happen. Although I really wish that it did, you know, and I hope that, you know, I can help create a path, but then again, that path might not ever exist. We'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like on a quotation marks federal level, as we like to say in game, like on a server level, I'll be honest, probably not gonna happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as a character, like as a player character thing, it is something fun to explore. And a push towards, right?
I thought it'd be really funny to give some lifers parole, have the DOC buy a house, use it as a halfway house, have them work jobs, have them pay rent, you know, make them go back to sleep in the prison, but they could, you know, take naps or whatever in the house, and they would just have to check in daily. I thought that would have been hysterical.
I'm almost wondering if that was one of the original intentions, and this is me speculating, so take that with a grain of salt and a half. I'm wondering if that was the original intention with the personal dormitories in the warehouse.
I think so.
Yeah.
But they were just too small.
Yeah, I agree. That would be, God, that would just be some fun RP.
Yeah. Just imagine somebody just out in the city, and then they just ruin it all for themselves in one day.
Right, and then they gotta go back to prison, right?
Yup.
The amount of tension, just narrative tension involved with that,
yeah,
is just so fun to me. I dig that.
Or the funniest thing, in my opinion, would be somebody sticking by the rules, being honest, getting trusted, and then somebody on the outside frames that person so they wind up back in jail.
I'm hollering. Honestly, I love that.
Yeah.
That'd be some diabolical.
Exactly. Like, they're just out to get him.
You know what? Yeah. Scared straight? Oh, I've been thinking of a spot. I'm not even joking. We've been joking about doing that for New Epsilon. But no, a scared straight bit would be honestly incredible. Some of the lifers in there are legitimately scary, and I love that.
I think I saw an SNL skit where they kind of did something similar. Yes! So it would be very funny.
Or what's the thing where it's like, it's so fucked up in here, they make you put your left shoe on your right foot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Exactly.
Or wait, no, it's the bit where they're describing movies. That's what it is.
It was like Eddie Murphy and
Keenan Thompson. Yeah. Okay, we got another question from Spot. When players have multiple characters in the game and might switch over to another character quickly, like in the middle of stream or while you're RPing, what exercises or preparation do you do to get into the other character?
Absolutely none.
None?
None whatsoever. I'm just going with the flow, so I have no plans ever, really, unless I, like, gotta be somewhere. Like, Mike is half self-insert, kind of, and then half alien, so Mike is
so
just, like, kind of whatever I feel like. Not a full. But Stewie is just so different that it's just easy. So I don't have to, the only thing I might have to do is kind of like switch up the voice a little bit, but after a lot of practice, it's not that hard.
Yeah, kind of just like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Another one of our mod gods, AC Decoy, submitted this one. And you might have answered this a bit earlier, but I am curious as to what your response for this is. Who was your first roleplay character in either a tabletop RPG or a role-playing game like NoPixel?
I have never played a tabletop RPG. I've never played D&D. Never got into any of that. Believe it or not, my first character was Mike Saff. The first server I was on was called Classic RP. But that server wound up to be very relationship heavy and ERP friendly and kind of weirded me out. So like I get in and people are immediately like buying me cars and I don't know. I get weird when people like give me gifts or I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but then I switched over to Dream Stage, which was where Mike was allowed to be an alien.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to do like a FIB type of arc. I put on this costume and I flew into the prison, and then police showed up. And as soon as they showed up, I flew out of the prison, switched my clothes, switched to a different helicopter, flew into the prison, said that someone was dressing up as me. And so I would just like, go chase them. And then eventually, like, there were a bunch of other people that were dressing up as me. And I had to, like, point out, like, oh, in that picture, they have different shoes. You know? Mm-hmm. So it got pretty silly. I liked that. But then, I don't know. It got a bit... estranged to a point where I was like, all right, I just gotta go to NoPixel now.
Yeah, you know, sometimes different people look for different things in RP and kind of like, you know, just looking for a... What's a good equivalent? I can't think of a good equivalent. Just finding a place that really fits what you're looking for or looking to achieve and explore in RP. That could take
a lot of different rules in different servers, and a lot of stuff, you know, gets punished in other servers that isn't punished in, you know, others. So really finding your niche is kind of where it's at. And for me, like, I kind of went to Classic RP with another fellow chatter who was also like getting into roleplay. So I didn't just do it alone.
Gotcha. So you had someone there.
When I moved to Dream Stage, I had another different chatter who had been in Dream Stage for a while. And he was like my go-to guy. So it was cool that I could hang out with him.
Heck yeah.
And he was already established. So when I went to NoPixel, I didn't know anybody in the prison, but at least I was aware of the people outside of the prison, even though I couldn't use that information.
Yeah, totally. Another one from AC Decoy. Is there a trait in Stewie that you wish you had? And if so, what is that trait and why?
Stewie's very outgoing. He's not afraid. Me, I'm like extremely shy. I don't like to take things out of roleplay. Like, what stays in servers in server, I'm not gonna like really reach out to many people outside. And I don't know, Discord RP is kind of like strange to me, you know. I didn't understand it at first, and I'm still kind of getting used to it. But yeah, I'm just like, I got a lot of walls up, and Stewie is just like, he'll say anything, he'll tell you whatever. He's an open book.
Heck yeah, that's really fun. That's really fun to kind of see that dichotomy at play.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, once I kind of meet people in roleplay, go ahead. You can shoot me a DM. I'm not against it. Like, if I don't shoot you a DM, please don't be offended. It's just, I don't know. I'm just shy.
Yeah, no one can blame you. Internet's a wild west.
Yeah, you never know if somebody is, like, their actual character, or if they're the opposite of their character. You never know what they're actually like, you know, IRL.
100%. 100%. I'm nothing like any of my characters.
Stewie did meet Chastity, tried to recruit
her
for a movie.
That's right! I forgot about that! That's right. Yeah, because it was, who was it? Kenzie McCormick and Chastity. Mm-hmm. And was it Max Dumont? I'm trying to remember. There was one other person that was trying to find a reason to work with the, like, do film stuff with the Lifers.
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember the specifics, but I remember we met, our characters met by that gate outside of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
That is bananas! Wow, that was long ass time ago.
Yep.
Beautiful. Well,
that was before Stewie had all his problems. He was like carefree.
Carefree, lifer in prison.
Wanted to do music and film stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a flip, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of flipping, you are the interviewer now. Ask me any question.
Oh, geez. How long have you been role-playing?
How long have I been role-playing? That's a great question. I've been on NoPixel since November of last year. So, like the tail end of 3.0.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Literally got on the server like 2 weeks before 3.0 went kaput.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Or actually, ooh, that's a little bit of my memory fails. I actually role played a little bit before then on some other servers, but nothing really, nothing was really hitting for me.
Okay. So where did you start, or how'd you find the server?
So for NoPixel specifically, I had someone shared some clips from different streams, and I'm like a big theater improv performance person, and I thought that it was a really interesting sort of venue for like long form improvisation, narrative stuff. And it seemed like a performance challenge, so that's what got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally just, like, stretching creative muscles and doing, like, acting challenge is the best way I can describe it.
You are great at that. You are so good at that.
Well, thank you. I that's really, really kind. I appreciate that. But, yeah. So, yeah, almost, like, a bit over a year and a half, like I guess with, like, GTA roleplay, but before then, I've done live play, like, D&D stuff, I've done, like, theater and acting, so if I want to be obnoxious and include all of that professionally, if I want to sit here and toot my own horn, we'll say, like, a solid 23 years.
Okay, wow.
If I really want to be obnoxious like that, but if I want to actually answer your question like a good person, like a year and a little over a year.
All right. It looks like Canyon wants to know, can you parallel park?
Can I parallel park? Absolutely the fuck not. I can barely drive. I love public transportation.
I actually can.
You can?
I can. Iconic.
Well, brag away, I guess.
What other questions? What is your favorite memory in roleplay?
My favorite memory in roleplay? Oh, goodness. Now it's been turned on me because that is such a difficult question. Oh, goodness. Gosh, there's a lot of serendipity.
You could save it for when you interview yourself.
Yeah, when I
do a podcast on that.
I'll just have to time out like me reading out the questions and then I have to answer within a certain time frame. That'll be so unhinged. Oh my god.
Rapid fire would be crazy.
Rapid fire, I will start yelling. I will be fuming. I will answer one question and just wait, go back. Go back, I want to answer that one. No!
Yes.
Wait, you're going too fast! I do have to do it for the bit. We'll save it for episode, if we get to episode 69.
We'll okay.
You gotta save for the good number. You gotta save for the good number if we get there. favorite RP memory? Golly.
You don't have to answer that.
That is
right
so
now.
There's so many fun ones. Honestly, it's some of my favorite RP memories, as of right now, because I am blanking on specifics, legitimately thinking back on the first time that my character has interacted with other characters that ended up being influential or important to the character's storyline.
If that makes sense.
It's one of those things where it's like, wow, what a fun initiation for what ended up being like a longer form, like inter-character connection. It's really fun to look back on those and kind of see those little like sparks of like improv joy. Because sometimes, yes, you know, like when you meet someone and you, like, you know, you have good chemistry, sometimes, you know, you, like, role play or improvise with someone and you're like, ooh, you do bits. Hell yeah. This will be fun. So, yeah.
Well, this has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Indeed, we really appreciate it. And one last thing before we set you free. We have a section called Why Do We Love Microphone Staff? And we got some viewer submitted things that I would like to read aloud if you have time.
I was not expecting this. Okay.
So, for longtime viewers of this stream, anyone who has watched the RP streams, we all know that Stewie is a character that we all love and enjoy. And of course, Seth brings that energy like no one else. Spot wanted to share that some of Spot's favorite RP moments to watch are Stewie and Eliza visitation time. Not only for character growth together and separate for both, but collaborating for the life of your book was Chef's Kiss. The Stewie deep gurgling voice of Kiflam when seeing that on Kaylee's stream, Eliza getting a call for him, I knew whatever the reason would be immaculate, and the depth in Saf's characters, whether intentional or not, I became an instant fan. Thank you so much and keep doing your push-ups. This one from AC Decoy. My favorite RP moments from Stewie were story time moments. Listening to Stewie talk about his childhood or life in prison was both entertaining and enlightening. I am going to miss Stewie's laugh. And of course, Mini Flash Jr. Put in chat, I love you, Sav.
Aw, thank you guys. Yeah. You guys are wonderful.
But yes,
I love you guys too.
Absolutely. Anything you want to plug and anything you want to say before we set you free here?
I'm not big on plugging myself. You know, I just do this for the fun. I don't expect anything in exchange. But hey, if you guys want to give me a follow on Twitch, you know, it's Microphone Saf. That's all.
You heard it, chat. Make sure that you give Microphone Saf a big ol' follow. Give it up for Saf. Thank you so much for your time today. You are an incredible guest. And thank you for educating us on the beauty and glories of butter noodles. I have a new appreciation for it now.
No, thank you for having me. And thank you for creating this podcast. This is gonna go on to do great numbers and you're going to continue to be who you are. Like, I love everything that you do.
This isn't about me. This isn't about me. Thank you for the compliments. I am very touched. I appreciate it. But it's not about me. This is about you.
I'm not good when it's about me. I'm not a good compliment either.
I'm not good about it either. Okay, we have to end. Otherwise, we're going to go down a spiral. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been The Role and the Player. You all take care, and we'll see you next time.